Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs this morning. And I tell you, friends, just a wonderful thing. God's been so good to me over all these years. Proverbs chapter number 17 to begin with this morning. Proverbs chapter number 17. I was just thinking this morning about friends. Regina and I were talking about it this week. All of my friends just about are in church, you know. And so you probably had the same situation I did. You either have friends who are in this church or at another church. And so, but we're glad that all of you are here. And you've had a wonderful turnout today of your guests being here. When I was a boy growing up, my best friend was Jimmy Wheeler. We lived in the community together. And we as boys just hung out together all the time. I was thinking about what we did, and I tell you, moms and dads would have a fit now. And some of you who got gray hair like I do lived the same way I did. The time I was 6, 7 years old, me and Jimmy, we'd leave out and would never be back home probably sometime the middle of the afternoon. We'd ramble all through the woods. We had BB guns, bean shooters, and everything else. And we had us a time, and that was my years, my early years with Jimmy. And, you know, strange how things stick out in your mind, and some of these things I probably don't need to tell. But when I was a boy growing up, Christmas, I mean, the big deal was a bicycle. You know, if you got a bicycle, now they want a $1,000 computer. But in those days, it was a bicycle, or for boys, it was cap guns. I mean, a good set of pearl-handled six-shooters, Gene Autry or Roy Rogers or one of those, or Red Ryder air rifle. Boy, we were in shape. And I used to love to play cowboys better than anything in the world. Me and Jimmy, we'd climb trees and we'd play. And, you know, he was my very best friend. But somebody had to be the good guy and somebody had to be the bad guy. And so it turns out I was going to be the good guy on this particular day. And we were playing, you know, shooting one another. And I remember that we were running around. I went and hid in the toilet. How many of you know what a toilet is? Raise your hand. All right. And for the rest of you, that's ancient history. But them were days, them were, wasn't they? I mean, that was good. But anyhow, I hid in the toilet. Strange. Here I am, 65 years old, and Sunday morning I'm talking about toilets. But I hid in the toilet. Well, guess what? He knew where I was at. He came out there and he said, "I know you're in that toilet. Come out with your hands up." And I said, "I'll come out, but it's going to have to be a fair gun fight." He's my best friend. He said, "Come on out. It'll be a fair gun fight." I cracked the door in that toilet, stepped out. As soon as I got out and opened, he said, "Bang." He shot me. I said, "I thought you was my friend." He said, "Right now you ain't my friend." He said, "You're my enemy." But you know, sometimes good friends become great enemies. Did you know that? But I'm glad that we were friends. Then when I got in school, I met this boy named Billy White. And this is almost comical. We were best friends. His daddy loved to fish, and he and I loved to fish. We fished a lot together, did a lot of things together, spent a lot of time together. And then we got old enough to start dating, and after a while, me and Regina got married, and then he married a girl named Regina. We had a little Carolina blue Falcon. Boy, it was something. And I like that little Falcon. I wish I had it back right now. But that little old Falcon, and then later she and I got a Galaxy 500 Ford. But Billy White got him a Falcon. So he had a wife named Regina, and he had a Falcon, and we had a Falcon. And then God blessed me and Regina. Our first daughter named Christy. My wife looked at me. She said, "I wonder if he has a girl, if he's going to name her Christy." But anyhow, our paths parted after some time. After we were out of high school, he was in the Air Force, and God called me to preach after some period of time. But you know, when all those years, and we didn't have a lot of contact, and he kind of went a different direction than I did. But while in the military, God did a work in his heart. He professed Christ as a young man. But in the military, almost at his retirement time, God really got a hold of Billy's heart, and he surrendered to preach the gospel. And so I ended up being a preacher, and he ended up being a preacher, and he pastored down in Florida. And in God's divine providence, he went home with the Lord quite a few years ago. And Jimmy is already gone. And a lot of my friends are dead now. But I'm glad that God over these years has given me wonderful, wonderful friends. And as God's let me pastor in churches, I had a preacher friend one time who told me, "You don't need to be friends with your church members." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you're supposed to be the preacher. You don't need to be friends with them." I said, "I can't help it." I can't help it. I said, I just enjoy being around God's people. And I've got wonderful friends here this morning and friends that have been my friends ever since I've known you. And I thank the Lord for that. In the Bible has a lot to say about friends and friendship. And I want to just kind of look at a few things by way of introduction this morning. Then I'll share some things with you God's laid on my heart. But in anything you look at, the answer is in the Bible. Look in Proverbs chapter number 17. And let's look at a few of these verses about friends in the book of Proverbs. For instance, in Proverbs 17 and verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Thank God for friends that love you at all times. When you up and when you're down, good times and bad, a real genuine friend. Somebody said one time that in your lifetime, you'll probably only have five real friends. A lot of people be your friends. I saw some verses in this book of Proverbs says, the wealthy have many friends, long as you've got money. When your money runs out, your friends run out. Remember the story of the prodigal son? He had a bunch of people to party with him until he ran out of money. And then all of his friends deserted him. But a real friend loves you all the time. They'll stay with you. And then look a little further in this same book of Proverbs in chapter number 18, right across the page, if your Bible's like mine, verse 24. It said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Some people say, well, I don't have many friends and people don't act like they like me. But, you know, the truth of the matter is you need to be friendly. You need to show yourself friendly. And you can have friends if you'll be friendly and do that. And then that wonderful statement, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that's that really, really close friend. And that friend I'll talk about a little bit more in just a few minutes. But turn over in chapter number 27, same book, Proverbs chapter 27, and look at verse number 6. Proverbs 27 and verse number 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know what that says? It says this, people that really are your close friends, and they can say things to you that are corrective. And doesn't mean they're going to beat you up. It means that they will say things to you that on the surface may seem like they're hurting, but they're not really. They're there to help you. These are people who share with you, and they'll be honest with you, and you can confide in them. Brother Avery Rogers, my good preacher friend who's in heaven now, he was that kind of friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If I wasn't doing something right, or if he'd tell me the truth, but it didn't bother me. I knew he loved me, and he wanted me to do right. And then turn over in the same chapter number 27, but look down at verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. I'll just read that part of that verse. He said, don't forsake your friends or your father's friends. You know, I had a good preacher friend who's in heaven now. His name's Brother Jesse Norris. And just out of the blue one time, down at Camp Meeting in Ponce de Leon, Florida, he made this statement to a bunch of preachers. He said, keep all your friends. You'll need every one of them before it's over with. Keep your friends. Don't use up people. You keep your friends. Keep them to be your friends. And he said, you'll need them all before it's over with. He's talking about what's going to happen in the world. And you know, you need to do that. Keep your friends and be a friend and keep your friends through all of ages. Now notice also in this same chapter, look over at verse number 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And what that verse is saying to us is this, that friends affect us. That's why it's important that you be careful about who your friends are. Friends will develop you. Friends will help you, or they can hurt you if you run with the wrong crowd. I remember several years ago, our preacher told the story about this fellow who had a corn patch and said he's having problem with crows getting in his corn patch. In his house, he had a parrot. That parrot could say anything. It was his pet. Talked to him every morning when he got up, every night, everything. And one morning early, without him realizing, that parrot got out of the cage, flew out in the corn patch. That guy got up and he heard the crows gawking in his corn patch, and he said, he got his shotgun. He said, I'm tired of that. I'm going to get rid of those crows. And when he shot out, and he said the feathers went everywhere, and he said he noticed that all the feathers were not black. There were some colorful feathers flying up in the air. He ran out, and there was his little parrot right in the middle of some of the dead crows. And he had one last breath, and he picked him up, and here's what the little parrot said, bad company, bad company. You know, you have to be careful about the crowd you hang around with, bad company. It said that a friend sharpens your countenance, and you need to hang around with people that'll help you and that'll be a blessing with you. That's the kind of friends that you need to have. Oh, those wonderful truths there in the Old Testament. Then this wonderful passage in the New Testament, you don't have to turn to it, but in John chapter 15, our Lord makes this statement, and here's what he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no... Oh, people have been good to me and blessed me, and I thank the Lord for that. But the Lord said the greatest of all expressions of love in friendship is that a man would be willing to die for his friends. And I do believe I've got friends who would be willing to die for me. And certainly Dylan's here this morning, serves as a Marine, and others who are serving. And by the way, Mikey Willis is doing good, and you just keep him in your prayers. But I thank the Lord for military people who don't even know us, but they're willing to die for us. But you know, as far as I know, in all of these 65 years, I've only had one friend who actually did die for me, and his name was Jesus. The Bible says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, and that's the astounding thing about God's love, the Bible said he died for us while we were sinners. As a matter of fact, you know one of the accusations they lodged against Jesus? The Bible says this about him in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Luke, that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. In other words, before you were his friend, before I was his friend, he was already our friend. And a friend loveth at all times. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. How could you get any closer than blood kin? Well, you could be the Creator, and you could be the Savior, and you could indwell them with the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And he does stay closer. He said this, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege we have to carry everything to him in prayer. Now, with all of that said, I want you to look in the book of Luke. Our Lord, in the book of Luke, chapter number 11, is talking about prayer. And matter of fact, this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 11 begins, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, we want to learn how to pray like you pray. And so he gives what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the model prayer, what we call the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But then that's not the end of that discussion. Because beginning at verse number 5, he amplifies on what we call the Lord's Prayer. And notice what he says in in the book of Luke, in chapter number 11 at verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is coming to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer, saying, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give. I say unto you that though he will not rise and give because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that is, because he keeps on asking, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Here's this wonderful passage of scripture. In this story, this illustration he gives, there are three friends. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about those three friends. First of all, he said, there was a friend that came to another friend at midnight. He's traveling on a long journey, and he comes to where he's at. Now, this friend has come in an unusual circumstance. He's coming by unannounced. And you know, a lot of things happen in our life. We call them trouble sometime. And they come unannounced. I mean, you don't plan on it. Everything's settled down. You're retired for the evening. It's midnight. Everybody's rested. And then all of a sudden, a friend knocks at the door. A lot of times you don't recognize it as a friend. You know what David said? David said it was good for me to be afflicted. You know what? Sometimes the problems that come our way, the afflictions that come our way, God means it for good. God's got a plan for your life. God's got something special for you. And it'll come at midnight. It comes at an inappropriate time. I don't know if there's ever been a good time to have problems. I don't know if there's ever been a good time to have something come in your life you wasn't expecting. And not only does it come at an inappropriate time, and not only does it come unannounced, but it comes perhaps unwelcomed. I mean, he's not looking for company at midnight, but he shows up. He shows up. Here's a friend at midnight. Now, notice the second friend. When this friend comes to visit at midnight, that visit was unannounced. It was unplanned for. It maybe even unwelcome, but it had some wonderful consequences. Why? Number one, it awoke that friend, the second friend, out of his slumber. And you know what the Bible says? It's high time to awake, thou that sleepest. If you're not careful in the life, in your Christian experience, you'll just kind of doze off and you'll get in a spiritual stupor. You'll begin to sleep. You'll get content and settle in. And sometime God will let some strange thing happen to you at midnight to get your attention. He'll send that friend at midnight to awaken you out of sleep. It's a wake-up call. You ever heard anybody say that? I had a friend who's had some physical problems, and the doctors and the family said this is a wake-up call. And sometimes God will send things in our lives. A friend will come by at midnight, and it'll be a trouble or heartache or sorrow or an adversity, and it's God's wake-up call for us to wake us up. Not only was it a wake-up call for the second friend, but this second friend, it revealed his inadequacy. He said, I have nothing to set before my friend that came at midnight. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, we don't really have anything. You don't have anything. The Bible said every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. And sometimes we drift along in our spiritual life, and not only are we about half asleep, and he said it's high time to wake, but we're spiritually asleep, but we do not realize where we're at spiritually until the hard times come, until the difficulties come. And then we realize we're not as close to God as we should have been. We're not as prayed up as we should have been. We don't have the power of God and the presence of God like we should have had it. We're not as close to Him as we should have been. And that awakens us to that. Sometimes you can drift along and be faithful in church and active in church and get on fire for God and serve the Lord. And after a while, things begin to settle down and you begin to drift a little bit. Next thing you know, you think everything's all right. So you start missing Wednesday night, you start missing Sunday night. And here you are, you're out. And you just, it's just a nonchalant situation you have. You're Christian in name only so far as your activity and service of the Lord. And you're just drifting along. But in your own mind, you think everything is fine. And then trouble comes. That friend comes at midnight. And when he comes at midnight, it reveals your inadequacy. I have nothing to set before him, he said. That emptiness on the inside. Boy, when you wake up, you know what? Daniel is a tremendous testimony in the Old Testament. The Bible said that when they began to try to pick out something that it could accuse Daniel of, they looked at his life. He was not a drunkard. He was not a reveler. He was not an adulterer. They couldn't pick out any of those things. You know what they came back and told the king? King, you know what he does? He prays three times a day. He prays three times a day. And so they got the king to make a decree that nobody could pray to any other gods other than to their gods, because they knew that Daniel was going to pray. And so Daniel did pray. And then the Bible said when the decree was made, that Daniel went into his place of residence, to his home, and the Bible said, and the window was open, and he prayed toward Jerusalem. The window was already open. You know what? That was his habit. He'd already done his praying before the problem came. He was already ready before the problem came, and that's why God delivered him out of the lion's den. He was already prepared. And my dear friend, it'd be better for you to be awake and alert in order to be prepared before the friend comes knocking at midnight. But this friend that came at midnight woke him out of slumber, and it revealed his inadequacy. He said, I don't have anything. I don't have enough to share. I don't have anything like that. But my dear friend, there's a third thing that this friend that came at midnight did for him. It reminded him of another friend. There's a third friend in this story. There's the friend that comes unexpected at midnight. There's the friend that doesn't have any bread. But then that circumstance reminded him of another friend. And so he in turn goes to his friend at midnight. Now, I don't know how many friends he had, but one thing's for sure. He knew there was at least one person he could turn to. And that was that friend that regardless of what time of the day it is, regardless of what the need is, he knew that that was his friend. He had confidence in him. And can I say to you, those of you who are saved, when it comes trouble in your life, I pray that God the Holy Ghost will remind you of that friend that loveth at all times, and that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this friend goes to that friend. This problem that came at midnight, this friend that came at midnight, it not only revealed his inadequacies, but it reminded him of another friend. And he went to him. And the Bible said he went to him and he pleaded with him. And the Lord gives this illustration of praying and seeking and asking and knocking. And he said although he wouldn't get up because it's just his friend, because that man stayed at the door. He stayed asking. Now, what prompted him to do that? Why didn't he hasten on down the road? Why didn't he run away? He didn't have anywhere else to go to. This was the friend he knew that had what he needed. This was the friend that he knew that would answer and meet that need. And my dear friend, sometimes when you come to the Lord, he doesn't get up immediately. He doesn't answer that request immediately. But you need to demonstrate that faith in your heart that this man had. He said, seek and you ask and you knock. And he said, if you'll do that, I'll answer you. What this man is demonstrating in his persistence is that I know that you hear me. I know that you care about me. I know that you're my friend, and I know you've got what I need. He demonstrated faith, and the Bible said he did. Now, I thought it's always interesting as I've studied this that he said, I need three loaves. I want three loaves. A friend came at midnight, this friend, but he said, I need three loaves of bread. I don't know how they divide the bread up. I've looked at that over and over again. Why three loaves? You know what I think? I think when the friend gave him the fresh bread, gave him the bread he needed, he went back to the house. I'm sure he thanked the man who gave him the bread, but he went back to the house and he set his friend down at a table and he gave him a loaf and he took a loaf and he put a loaf in the middle of the table. And he said to his friend, there's more where that came from. And I'm glad, you know what God does? God doesn't just give you just the little bit that you need. God will over and abundantly bless us. He's given us far more than we ever deserve. Dave Ramsey does the financial program, and he always answers the phone or addresses people when they call him. They say, how you doing? He said, better than I deserve. And isn't that true of all of us? God has been so good to us and has given us more than we deserve. And this man gave him what he needed. Now, the whole purpose of this story is this, that men ought to pray and go to the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. You know where you can go to find help with your sin? There's not 100 friends. There's not 50 friends. There's not 10 friends. There's one friend. There's one friend who is the friend of sinners. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's not another friend. There's not a person you can go to. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus Christ bore our sins and paid that sin debt before you ever ask him to. He's already done that. He already paid that sin debt. And he's the one you could go to have sins forgiven. You can't come to me. You can't go to anybody else's church. You can't get your sins forgiven by baptism. But he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's the only friend you can call on. He said, if you'll seek him, if you ask and knock, he'll open, he'll answer, he'll meet that need. And if you'll ask him and call on him, he'll forgive you of all his sin. But beyond that, the song says this, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And then what a privilege we have to carry everything to him in prayer. Here's the thing. He gave his son to die for us, and Jesus died for us. But you can have everything you need by going to this friend. He's a friend. I'm glad I've got a lot of good friends in this building. I believe if I needed anything in the world, I believe I could call on a good many of you in this building. And what you had, you'd help me with, or you'd try to help me with advice or whatever it might be, or money, whatever. You'd do what you could. But you know what? You're like me. We're limited in our knowledge, and we're limited in our means. There are just so many things we can't do, so many things we don't know how to do. I have people call me all the time, and I talk to people and counsel with people on the phone about situations and about how to do this, how to do that and the other, about family problems, this, that, and the other. And I share with them what I think from the Word of God, but I say this main thing is this. Here's what you need to do more than anything else. You need to pray. You need to pray. You get a hold of God, because I don't have the answers, but he does. And here's a friend. I'm telling you, he's your friend. He's your friend. When you come to pray, when you come to pray, how do you approach God? I was going back through and looking at it. It says of Abraham, he was a friend of God. And you know what? Jesus is our friend. He's our friend. And when you approach the throne of grace, you're approaching somebody who is your friend. And he wants to bless you. He wants to meet your need. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. I want to give you life, but you won't let me give you life. And all of our burdens and all of our cares, he said, cast all your cares on me. I care for you. He wants to take care of all your burdens. He wants to take care of all your cares. He wants to take care of all your needs. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If he'll forgive your sin, if he'll take all your burdens and all your cares, and if he'll meet every need you got, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is for us to carry everything to him in prayer. But you know, there's a little phrase in that song that says this, what a peace we often forfeit because we do not carry everything to him in prayer. You're struggling hard today. You're trying to meet that need. You're trying to find happiness somewhere else. You're worried about all these needs. He said, if you'll come to me, if you'll seek me, if you'll knock, I'll meet that need. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege we have to carry everything to him in prayer. Every temptation, every trial, every burden, he'll do it. But here's the deal. You need to keep knocking. Ms. Norma Williamson sent me a little thing the other day. I was going to share it the other night with our Highway Shepherd volunteers, but I forgot it actually. But it was this little story. And he said, the Lord spoke to this man, and he said, this huge, massive rock out here, I want you to go push against that rock. And so that man, realizing that was God's will for his life, he'd get up every morning, he'd go push as hard as he could against the rock. He couldn't move it. Day after day, day after day. And finally, after some long period of time, he became just completely exhausted, given out, and just frustrated. And he said, God, I've done everything you said to do, and I've not moved the rock. He said, I never told you to move the rock. I just told you to push. And he said, you think you've wasted your time. He said, but look at your arms, how strong they are now. Notice the strength in your legs and your back. Notice how strong you've become by pushing. And he said, I didn't ask you to move it. I just asked you to push. And he said, now I'll move it because you've been faithful. And then the little word push, P-U-S-H, he said, push. Just push against that rock. Push. Push. Pray until something happens. He said, if you'll seek, you'll find. If you'll knock, it'll be open. If you ask, you'll receive. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Just keep on praying. He cares for you. Will you bow your heads in prayer? I'm glad that you've got friends here with you this morning. And I'm glad that you have friends who are members of this church that invite you to be here. And for all of you who are here, thank you for being my good friend, the friend of my family. I want to tell you about the greatest friend that anybody in the world could ever have. His name is Jesus. There's not a person here that he would not save. There's not a need here that he cannot meet. There's not a burden or care he cannot lift if you'll call on him, if you'll seek him. That's what this whole little story about friendship was all about. He is the friend that loveth at all times. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the friend who will never, ever forsake you. And he is the friend that's got exactly what you need. What's your need this morning? What's the need in your heart and life? Do you need comfort? He said, I'm the God of all comfort. Do you need encouragement? He said, be not afraid. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with you. Whatever your need is, he's able to lift every burden. He's able to forgive you and cleanse you of every sin. He's able to meet every need that you've got. But you must come to him. I wonder this morning, how many of you like me could say, I thank God for my friends over all the years. But I want to thank the Lord mostly this morning for my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand high toward heaven? You know him. You know the joy of his friendship. God bless you. Friends, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Do you know that? Do you know that by experience? If you don't know that this morning, you didn't see all the hands I've just seen, but they testify to you there is a friend. There's a friend that'll take away every sin. There is a friend who can meet every need. There is a friend who can carry you through the darkest hours of your life and meet every need. His name is Jesus. I wonder why our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not asking you about being a member of this church. Although we'd welcome you, we'd love for you to be a member. But I wonder this morning, if you're here this morning, you say to me, Brother Billy, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But preacher, will you pray for me? You may be a visitor, a guest. You may be here today as a friend, and I thank you for coming. You may say, I don't know that I would ever get to come back, and that God will lead you to a good church somewhere. But what I'm interested in today is this, that you'd know our friend. You'd know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, Pastor, I don't know him. I'm not saved. But I sure would like to know him before it's too late. Will you pray for me? Let me say this to you. You may not have been here before. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come to you. I'm not going to try to single you out. I want to pray for you exactly what I said I'd do. I'm going to pray for you right now. while no one's looking, every head's bowed, every eyes closed. Just say, preacher, if I died now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I sure would like to know that, friend. Would you raise your hand in the building, just right up, right back down, that I might acknowledge it. Nobody's looking but me. And I want to pray for you right now. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody with that burden, that need in your heart and life? How many of you here this morning say, Brother Billy, I'm that friend that trouble came to at midnight. I'm going through something now in my family, in my home, in my heart that's awakened me out of my slumber. I realize I don't have what I need, but I'm glad that Jesus knows. But Pastor, will you pray for me as I go through this time of darkness, this time of need, and as I seek the Lord for His help and His guidance? Pastor, will you pray for me? Would you raise your hand in the building? God bless you, many of us like that this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you and give you glory for all you do, for all you're doing. Now, Lord, I didn't see a single hand in this building this morning of somebody that was lost. But God, I don't know. Lord, it'd be a blessing if every heart was clear and everybody in this building, if the Lord comes, would take them, you take them home. But God, I pray, God, if that's not the case, that God, the Holy Ghost, will do what I cannot do. I pray that you'd convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And God, I pray, God, that you'd, Lord, bring them to a place where they've come to know the greatest friend they'll ever know, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, they'll trust Him as Savior and Lord. And our Father, for all our dear friends here this morning who have shared with us by an uplifted hand that that friend has come at midnight, they've been awakened. They realize they don't have all that they need. God, I'm glad they know somebody who can meet that need. And Father, on their behalf, I pray right now that God, the Holy Spirit, God would give them just exactly what they need. God, I pray that you'd give comfort to those who need comfort, physical, spiritual blessing to those who need those type of blessings, guidance to those who need guidance. God, I pray the Holy Ghost to give healing to those who need healing. God, I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, not to be ashamed of our friend, but to tell over and over again to those of our friends and acquaintances here in this world about the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the friend that loves at all times,